Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is The Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first show for the month of October 2021, so it is the Pokemon show.
Ooh.
We got lots of stuff to talk about. Yeah, it's going to be a spooky Pokemon show.
Why is that?
Because the day in between the solstice and the equinox, reverse the order of that.
Yeah, Jesus was born, right?
Is where the barrier of the living and the dead are is the thinnest. So,
oh, like Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
If you say so. I was just agreeing. I'm not sure what that reference is. What were we talking about? Oh, Pokemon. Right.
We're talking about the dead.
So, this is going to be a... We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to do a spooky Halloween team. Well, that's going to be our closer. That's the big topic. Sure. We can talk about some Pokemon Go and Pokemon Unite because there's some updates there. Yep. And we're also all doing a bug type Nuzlocke through Gen 8.
I don't want to talk about.
I guess some of us were doing it.
But yeah,
It's too soon.
We got a lot to get through here. So.
I had to dig so many graves today.
I mean, at least you're just burying bugs. They'd have to be very deep or large. So yeah. Tiny little caskets.
I don't know. So Discord is pretty big.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's like the size of a human.
You can like roll them up though.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, let's get to it.
Dark that is to somebody on the side of the road rolling up this big fence.
Like rolling up his pet crying. Wow, we got so much to get to. What a time. What a time to be alive
it
is.
Wait,
except for Wes's team.
It's not the retro show.
you're making it feel less special when you say it every time. It's like, at what point wasn't it a time to be alive? Is there a period in which things were just kind of like average? Not a lot was happening.
No, it was probably either really terrible or really awesome. I don't think, like...
Maybe the last 3 or 4 years of the Obama presidency.
Okay.
Everything was just kind of like, all right, that's pretty cool.
It's all right.
Things are okay. No one's rocking the boat. You know, it's 80 degrees out. You know, nice
always
and sunny.
Sunny all night.
You know, it's great, yeah.
No humidity. So, Ryan, Pokemon Go. What's going on there?
Sure. Actually, right now is a... If you still have, I think, a couple of days to complete it, but there is a timed event that will result in you getting a Zarude. That Pokemon that... So if anyone missed that...
Grass Dark, Big Monkey.
Yeah, it was a mythical issued during, maybe 6 months ago. You had create a Nintendo account. Or if you didn't already have a Nintendo account, you had to create a Nintendo account and link it to Sword and Shield. And they'll give you... It looks a little bit like this guy. Big Monkey thing.
Oh, yeah.
Black and green. So it just now became available for anyone that plays Pokemon Go. It's fairly easy to complete what you have to do. It's all the stuff you're already doing anyways. So unless you're a newbie?
Is that a normie?
Yeah, total noob. Then this shouldn't be too tough for you to do that.
Can you get multiple?
I believe just the one. No, you get it for completing the whole project. That's it. Right now, the legendary showing up in all the raids is Genesect. Which is really cool. Prior to that, it was a Zelf. I got a bunch of Zelfs. It's been good. I mean, I've been hunting shinies as I always do.
And a Zelf is, of course, the one that is blue and pointing at US.
Mm. Oh.
The color of that lake trio, a Zelf. There's a yellow, a pink, and a blue.
Oh. Zelf is going to be the pink one, right?
That's not fair, John. It's blue and also blue.
Right.
Damn, it's the blue one?
It's blue and blue.
It's the blue one.
Yeah, so
it's
that's...
the blue one. Damn it.
That ain't the nicest thing that you've ever said. But, no. Like, I mean, collecting some shinies.
I laughed at his dead team a few minutes ago.
that's true.
Their bodies are still warm, John. All right.
The legs are still twitching.
Yeah.
Because they're bugs.
Oh, there was a fashion thing that happened. If you have
the
Pikachus,
Met-Gala?
All the Pikachus have different hats.
Oh,
and stuff.
Pokemon Go.
So sometimes they do different fashion stuff, like in Go, such as like issuing like bow ties atop of Butterfree's.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so I got one, and it's a shiny.
Oh, nice.
Which is sweet, but I can't transfer it into the game. So
it's
sort of forever stuck because all of the fashion ones, if it's got a hat. Like, there's one with Krogunk, and he's got, like, a backwards baseball cap. Shinx with this really sweet-looking bow tie. But you can't evolve them, and you can't trade them. So they're kind of locked into Pokemon Go.
Huh.
What I can trade in is this fucking sick Sableye.
Sableye is
gold.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty sick.
Get a shiny one, yeah. But there was a Oshawott event, so I got a bunch of shiny Oshawotts if you guys want one.
I do.
Yeah, but Pokemon Go.
I like Oshawott.
It's for real. It's been
I can do anything with an Oshawott.
going to play Pokemon Legends.
Yeah. I never was a big fan of Oshawott. Pokemon Legends, I'm grabbing my Rowlet. Screw everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a Cyndaquil, and this Oshawott is going to give me.
So, yeah. Pokemon Go, for real. Keep at it. Everyone should keep doing it.
Wes, Pokemon Unite. As soon as you're done taking a drink, I'm vamping for you right now.
Delicious, Dr. Pepper.
Uh-huh.
Pokemon Unite had a couple of little updates. I briefly mentioned the Blastoise update, which he is a big tank. Really sure squishy in the beginning.
Pretty sure it was Blastoise.
Blastoise?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Blastoise.
So they had the Blastoise update, and then they released Mamoswine, which is another defender. They just, which is surprised they went defender than defender. He's pretty good. He seems
pretty
a little
sure
bit more...
Pretty sure it's Mamoswine.
Mamoswine, okay. So they released Mamoswine. He's a defender that does a couple of little slows and stuff. I haven't really seen much of Mamoswine. Mamoswine, my bad. But they brought out Sylveon. Sylveon's the new one. Attacker.
Yeah, when you are pronouncing correctly.
Yeah, Sylveon. Yeah. She's an attacker and starts as Eevee, so it doesn't just start as Sylveon, which is nice. I like that. It's a brute right now. It needs nerfing. Like, immediately. One of the things with these kind of games is mobility is pretty OP in certain situations, where you can just dash out of the way or do a big gap close and things like that. When you get one Pokemon like Sylveon that has a 6-second dash on top of then getting these balls of fire that it does absurd damage. It's OP right now. I played it one game against it and it just wrecked face. But yeah, I want to get it. I don't have enough of the in-game currency to buy it yet. But she's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a fun little game. The meta's is kind of balancing out. People are starting to figure out, all right, it's around this time, I need to go and do this, and things are kind of solidifying into these kind of games what generally people do.
The sort of rhythm, like, oh, now it's time to go get Zapdos.
Yeah, now we gotta go get Dreadnought because he's spawning. We gotta go take that guy out. Mm. And I'm like, well, they're pushing there. I don't know. It's a fun little game to kill time. I don't play it often, especially because I was pouring so much time into this Nuzlocke. I was trying to catch up with you and Ryan, and then they died.
then it was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath.
They got squished by the proverbial boot.
Oh, God.
I mean, we'll get into the Nuzlocke when we get there, but, like, honestly, this is probably the fastest I've ever played through a Pokemon game.
I think we're there. I think
it's so focused in what I have to do.
We've been dancing around this Nuzlocke. And to your point, we might as well start there. Like, yes, like, the only times I have, like, poured serious amounts of time into it is when I actually, like, stop and, like, hey, let's just kind of walk around. Let's do some max raid battles in the wild areas, just see what shows up, maybe get some TRs, build us some candies. And like that's the most I've like actually engaged with the game, because otherwise, especially in like the back half, it's been get to the gym, avoid as many fights as possible, and get to the next gym. I think a lot of this is because we're doing like a hardcore Nuzlocke, so we might as well go over the rules of a hardcore Nuzlocke. You can only catch, where we're playing with a bug type Nuzlocke, so we can only catch the first bug type that we see on a route, our first encounter.
I get encountered, because, like, in the wild area, I would see, like, a fucking Metapod. I'm like, I'm not catching my butt, I want this thing over here.
I would do the first thing I saw. If we have first encounter.
Really? I did encounter. So, like, it did bite me in the ass once, because I went to get Wimpod, and Dweble popped up, and I ran right into a Dweble instead. So I caught him instead. So, you know.
I did not do that. I bred about 20 beautiful cutie flies until I got one with Shield Dust.
So,
but that's the only one where I'd like, you know,
cheated.
Yeah, I didn't think it was even cheating. Uh-huh. Like, I knew I got one from each route. I figured, like, whatever.
Uh huh.
So, other than that, yeah. Like, and anyways, what does it matter? Like, we're all just gonna get our shiny bottle caps.
I
max stat these assholes, right? Like, that's
I don't think you can do that until after the Elite Four, though.
Oh.
Or the whatever version of the Elite Four, I forget what it is in this game, because I've only played through this game one time. This is my second playthrough.
Yeah, I know. That's it's so refreshing to kind of like play the game again for the first time. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot that you can just create a profile and play a new version of it.
Yeah, without having to delete your old file and all your.
I played through this game a bunch. I've been doing a bunch of different single type runs and stuff, but this is the first Nuzlocke I've done on it, and
I'm so sad.
I guess the only thing is that would you. because like whenever I tried to do wonder trades again, like I said, I got like 20 extra cutie flies I don't want. I was gonna do some wonder trading, but then it wanted me to link to my Nintendo account, and I'm like, if I link to the Nintendo account, am I gonna lose my existing account? Like, can I just add as many accounts as I want, or is that gonna disrupt what I already have set up?
Well, no, it's I've tried to do that before, but I can't remember why, but I couldn't link my account on a separate one because it was already tied to that one.
Okay, that's kind of, yeah, that would make sense.
And that one was just a single account. It wasn't like a family account, so I couldn't link another game to that account. I can only link that one. And so
that's not so bad. That
simply didn't do anything.
Well, it means that, I guess that means that what we could do is just like trade with each other and then trade back. So like, I could just trade to one of your mainline games and then you could trade back to me.
Yeah, so if you wanted to keep one of the Pokemon like into your main game or like send it to home or something.
I don't. Because they're also disposable.
Because trading is not allowed in a hardcore Nuzlocke, John. Right. What are the rules, John?
Thank you for bringing us back around. Aside from what you two cheaters are doing,
that was not a big cheat.
It does not matter at all. first encounter only. We are playing with a mono bug type, so usually, well, not mono bug type, but bug type is a primary type. So what that usually means is you'll play with like a species clause, which means you're not catching multiple of the same one. So if you were running around and you saw that Metapod, but you already had like a Caterpie, Metapod, Butterfree line, you could just totally ignore that Metapod and not count that as an encounter. It's a hardcore, in a typical Nuzlocke, Pokemon faints, it's dead. You do have to nickname everything. Pokemon faints, it's dead. You either got to release it or box it forever. In a hardcore Nuzlocke, there's also a level cap. You can only take on the next gym leader with Pokemon that are at or below its highest level Pokemon, its ace. No items in battle. Can't use any items. You can use held items, but nothing consumable can be used in a fight.
No X-Attacks or potions or antidotes. None of that shit.
Right. Did I miss any? I think it's everything.
The wild area is a confusing thing with that. So
you
the
have
wild
to
area,
play with the controller up. You have to play with the Switch upside down.
Right, which is how I typically play anyway. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in the wild area, there's a bunch of different zones, but we did a rule with the wild area, so you didn't go there and just catch a whole shit ton of bug Pokemon right out of the gate. You can catch one Pokemon in the wild area per gym. So you can catch one, go beat a gym. You can go back and catch another one, go beat a gym, so on and so forth.
So basically a max of 9 encounters.
And we did the same rule with the Isle of Armor as well. So you can do, so every gym, after I get done with the gym battle, I went to the Isle of Armor, I went to the wild area, got my two new Pokemon, and then just moved on.
Stocked up.
Yeah. The thing that was the biggest pain in the ass for me was that Sizzlipede. That took so long to find.
Oh, yeah?
He's 5% chance.
He's a low counter.
I don't know if this is one of those ones where it's different for our playthroughs, but you get a guaranteed one.
In the gym.
And then one of the gyms.
I was trying to catch it before...
I tried to catch it on the route, too. I think it was like route 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I caught it on route 3 because there was a double battle on the way to the third gym.
Yeah.
And one of them had a clink in it, and I had nothing to do with steel. And I knew it had a clink, so I was like, I'm going to catch a Sizzlipede, so I got something to deal with.
And it was right before that cave.
Yeah.
Which is where two of my Pokemon went down. Just one of my Pokemon went down. I think it was on that route. Maybe it wasn't on that route. No, because it was at level 30. It must have been later. Anyway.
Oh,
neither here nor there. So there's lots of different options. Lots of different bugs you can get. Who are you guys' standouts?
Well, before we do into this, what did you use for names for nicknames? This is important for Nuzlocke.
I didn't have like a really cohesive theme. Sometimes I would give them like something related to bugs or something. Other times I would just kind of name them something for utility. So, for example, my starter, the first Pokemon I got, was a Charger Bug. Its name is Haywire because it's an electric type. I also have, Arsenic the Skorupi. He can't evolve because he stops being a dark type. So,
he stops being a bug type.
Right. He starts being a dark type and stops being a bug type. Yeah. Right. Recluse is my Araquanid. It is a spider. Pyra is my female Centiscorch, now it is a Centiscorch. Sneaks is my Scoliopede. Sneaks because it has all those feet, so I'd have to wear a lot of sneakers.
Oh, that's funny.
Aurora is my Snom. It has not evolved yet. I just got that one. Bok Bok is my Shuckle because it's only when I'm being a big chicken and need to wall up for a while. Benny is my Heracross, And Benny the Heracross is dead, sadly. It's my most recent loss. She is named Benny because I just thought of the movie The Mummy, when like the scarabs are like chasing them out the end.
And Benny dies
because it's like closing.
He's gonna get
hit by the bugs. Aurora is my cutie fly. She did not last. Luna is my Butterfree. Also one of my early deaths. Sputnik is my Orbeetle. Very sad. Lost Sputnik just after he evolved. Worldbreaker is my Crustle. Wrath is my Ninjask. And Goma is my Galvantula. Jesus.
Good job.
Galvantula. There it is. Did I miss one? Oh, yeah, I did miss one. I also have a Shedinja. It's named Safe Swap because it's only good for utility.
Yeah. You guys caught like a ton more Pokemon. I've caught 7 Pokemon.
Okay.
And they're all still alive. So.
You fuck.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've got a single thing from the Isle of Armor either. This is all just standard. Easy peasy shit you get on.
There's a Venipede in there. On the aisle.
Oh, I didn't get a Venipede, no.
Venipede's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are talking him up, but I got too many things here that are fast and have no defense. Mm. So, like, having him is not a game changer, so. But what do I have? I have a Orbeetle. I named it UFO. I'm sure that.
Yeah.
If half of them that get nicknamed UFO, I'm sure that's so unoriginal. But, Absolute Tank. Was really held up well, can put up a heck of a fight. I really like this thing. It has the held item that increases psychic attacks because it has a psychic attack.
A Twisted Spoon?
Something like that.
Or is it Wise Glasses?
Wise
Glasses is increased special attacks.
Right, yeah. But you do find it pretty early on, so I was guessing that one.
I don't have one.
Didn't find it. Yeah, no, my... I think my Wise Glasses are actually on my next dude, is my Galvantula, named Peter Parker, which was a male. Otherwise, I probably would have named it Charlotte, gone with something real basic. I honestly haven't used it all that much. It's great. It was great when I needed some experience on some Pelippers that were spawning everywhere. This thing just cleans up Pelippers like crazy.
Well, I lost mine on Route 9 fairly recently because I just started... The biggest challenge I've had is staying under... the level cap. So when when stuff reaches a level cap, I'll box it up and then I'll find myself on a route where, you know, the only like usable Pokemon I had with me was Galvantula, and then I also had like the Shuckle, the Shedinja, and like Snom or something. And I just got into a fight where a Galvantula couldn't tank a single hit. So
yeah.
Ended up dying, and then like the Skorupi or something, and just finishing it off because it was really weakened.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And again, this is probably me kind of cheating the rules a little bit, but my only thing was basically get to the door of the gym with everyone at the same level as high as whatever happens when you go in the gym happens. So if I overlevel before, like from those fights leading up to the gym fight, I don't care. That usually means I'm one level, maybe half my crew is one level over the cap.
That's happened to me a couple of times now, especially in the later gyms, just because it's so fucking hard to actually stay under the cap. You only have like 7 Pokemon, so it's got to be even tougher to like creeping around, like waiting for people to turn the other way so you can like bolt past them.
So much stealthing through this.
They turn around like, who the fuck was that kid? Is that the new gym challenger?
Yeah, like and when this game first came out, we were giving a hard time to all those people that were like, man, you can't turn EXP share off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, well, I'm shocked to see that there is a reason it would be nice to turn EXP share off.
Yeah.
You know? But hey, I digress. So moving on with my team, those are my two. Again, that's a bug psychic and a bug electric, whatever. I have a Ribombee named Duster. And I'm calling it Duster because I don't even know if you remember me just rambling about music when we did our last retro show. There is this album called Contemporary Movement by a band called Duster, and I still to this day am listening to it nonstop. I can't get over how good that record is. It has Shield Dust as an ability. As I told you, I bred 20 of them to ensure that happened. So this female Ribombee is great, and it has a Draining Kiss. It came with Draining Kiss.
Yeah, at some point mine had Draining Kiss, Leech Life, and Absorb.
So yeah, this guy's never dying.
But like I mentioned, I have a cutie fly, who I caught on Route 4. It was my first encounter there. And I'm just going to go ahead and show you my switch, because look at this ability and a nature. First encounter right off the route.
Oh, that is perfect.
It is a modest nature shield dust. And I'm so sad he's dead. She's dead.
And in the the what do you call that? The heel ball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Looking extra adorable.
I try to use different Pokeballs.
Yeah, so, and Ribombee has over 100 speed. It's like 115, 120 speed, something wild like that. And the fact that it leeches back so much life, it actually feels very safe just putting this at the front. And then just going up against whatever encounters. Again, Fairy is such a wonderful type.
Mine wasn't safe. It got one-shotted.
Really? By the rock gym, right?
No, by a random Crustle I was trying to catch.
Oh, well, there's your problem. Everything's a problem to a fucking Crustle if you're bugs. But still.
I mean, there was no thing. It was the only thing I was like, if you die, I'm not going to be heartbroken. Like, that's all it was. It got one-shot. I was like, well.
Yeah. But like you were saying earlier, Ryan, like, having that sort of HP restore is hugely valuable. Like, I did a few max raid dens, and I have a few TRs for Leech Life, and anything that can learn it outside of Shedinja can learn Leech Life for some weird reason.
It still is fine on because it has a high attack, and Shedinja
but it can also just like use X Scissor. But anyway,
but I mean, if you didn't have anything,
neither here nor there, but like just getting that HP restore because nothing here is tanky, outside of like Shuckle and maybe Durant.
Tanky, I think Orbeetle is tanky,
okay.
What do you even call that thing? What is
Araquanid?
Araquanid's pretty tanky.
Gallipot, if mine lived that long, is actually pretty tanky.
And we need to talk about Gallipot. I think that's the most dangerous thing you could have on your team. Because it's just
gonna, I don't at all.
It's gonna it goes below 50 health and then it just subs out for another random Pokemon on your team.
It's not random.
Oh, you get to choose.
You pick.
You get to choose which one of your Pokemon get to die.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Like, if you do, you can line up like fights and everything like that. Which, like, a lot of fights, it's not like,
do I love
this
the
is
least.
The only good one to do. Like, it just, you know.
It just seems like there's some randomness there, and I would hate to be caught in a scenario where I don't have an exit strategy.
I was viewing it as a way to keep my Gallipot alive. Like, I was viewing him as safe. Like, I was like, I'm not going to lose Gallipot because he's just going to dip out. Like, it's.
Yeah, I mean, fair point. If you look at your team and you see five things that are less important than your Gallipot, then I guess it's fine.
I mean, if you look at stats or anything, the guy's a brute. He typically one-shots everything anyways.
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's something I should build for when we get to these like later gyms.
My Wimpod died. so.
Yeah. That's also a fairly... that is one, also an easy catch because it's in the second part of that underground route. And that route is also fantastic because it has those Stunfisks. Those things just, like, piss out experience, by the way. If you need a quick way to level up in the safest way possible, just churn those guys. Like,
I didn't know the Wimpod was in that cave.
Yep.
I'll have to go back and get one.
Kind of near the later part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you caught your Shuckle there.
I did not.
Okay.
But, like, I caught my Shuckle as an encounter in a wild area, and I was kind of bummed, but it turned out to be okay.
Keep on my team?
I want to talk about Araquanid for a little bit, though.
Yeah, Araquanid's on my team.
So. Araquanid is doing a lot of work. He's probably been... one, if not my second most valuable Pokemon.
What were you using as his main water move? Because mine was doing good and everything like that.
Waterfall.
I was really... I was expecting him to be a little bit more of a brute. He wasn't really doing great stuff for me.
I got a TR for Waterfall.
I haven't gotten a good physical water TR or TM yet, so it just got Bubble Beam. But it's got Leech Life. The biggest thing that I find it, the biggest value that I'm getting out of it is just being able to go out there and like throw down an aqua ring, and it's also holding a leftovers, so I'm getting a fair chunk of...
Oh, that's a good idea, playing leftovers with it.
I get a fair chunk of HP back every turn. So. Yeah,
I got Aqua Wing, Leech Life, Crunch, and I taught him Liquidation.
Where'd you get Liquidation? Was it a TR?
A TR.
I'll say it again. That. Waterfall.
Well, I have Waterfall too, but
physically damaging move with a 20% chance to flinch.
Yeah, but this damage. Has...
That's your move. What do you want?
Liquidation has a chance to lower defense, and it hits a 5 high, harder. It's 85 instead of 80.
That's fine. I'd rather be flinching.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with you. I should have just rock Waterfall on it, but who cares?
I'm going to go Liquidation. I'm going to go Contrarian.
Oh, yeah, so I do have one of those on my team, and I named it Diving Bell. Diving Bell are a type of spider. I don't know if it's the one that it's based on. I think they're the ones that make those little breather bubbles that allows them to be in water.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
But it was a really valuable one to have in the fire gym because of that water bubble ability.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it pretty much makes it to where it does not very effective damage. So,
So yeah, I mean, I thought... and it's not just this gym. It's like all over the place. If I want to just feel safe, he's usually the one at the front of my team.
Mm.
I feel like he's sturdy enough. He's bulky enough. Has good tight coverage. a nice wide array of attacks because it had Bite, which is another flinching move, and then learned Crunch, which is fucking awesome. You know, it's got, you know, a good mix of bug moves as well. I mean, granted, everything's could potentially have a bug move on this list, but still, yeah, an absolute winner. If there were one Pokemon on this list that I actually would want to ever play with again, or that I'd like to port into my main games, it's this guy for sure.
I used Araquanid on my first ever run-through of Sun Moon, and I ended up really liking him. That was funny because I ended up, in that run-through, I used Araquanid, Gallipot, and Vigavolt all on the same team. So I had like a half-bug team.
Nice.
Anyway, let's continue your turn.
One last thought on it. Have you ever seen those things in the wild? Like when they show up just in the grass?
They're fucking
huge.
They're terrifying.
The Araquanids? Oh, yeah.
They're things of nightmare.
Yeah, they're the size of like four-wheelers.
Do they make it to your spooky team? I feel like it should.
Maybe if they... we'll have to look up some entries. If they have some gruesome entries, I'm sure. Where it's like, you know, it loves to attach the limbs of the things it kills to its body to create the perception that it has more
necklace.
It's technically not a spider. Okay, wait, sorry. So
it also has six legs, so yeah, it's technically not a spider.
Yeah. So,
fun fact.
Yeah, you know. Again, it's got the limbs of the things that it kills that it attached to its body.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I got, I do have the... What is it, Sizzlipede, whatever that becomes?
Senescorch.
I named it Panzerfaust, which is the name for rocket launchers and the not good guys from World War II. That's what they called them.
The Italians?
Yeah, the Italians are pretty bad. Let's face it. The Italians have always been bad, but specifically during World War II, they were especially not good. Sorry, go on.
John's half Italian. That's insulting.
Senescorch is just the side that likes to go to the Olive Garden, the most Italian restaurant in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Nothing captures the heart of Italy like fucking Olive Garden.
It's funny because we just said something more offensive that Italians are always the villains. He writes about how Italians are always the bad guys, and by calling Olive Garden authentic Italian, we probably just pissed off more Italians that way.
Well, and honestly, like one of our favorite Italians, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
You know, we love him. We're so happy that he's going to be portraying Mario.
So happy. So pleased.
What were we talking about?
Senescorch. I really liked my Senescorch. Doing a whole lot of work for me, too.
He's I like using Coil on him. Mm-hmm. I think that he's actually going to potentially be an answer for some later gyms that I'm going to have to go up against. Just because he seems like one of the few things that can last long enough to bulk up.
Yeah.
You know, to actually pull off some of these moves to get stronger. Hit harder, so yeah.
And he's another one where, you know, maybe you give him a leftovers, maybe you give him something to power bug moves, but you can also have leech life on there. So, you know, while you're coiling up, you hit it with a leech life and get some HP back so you can keep on trucking.
And again, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but is it a shell bell?
Yep.
That's what I've equipped on my Araquanid that gives you back a little bit of health based on the damage you do, or potentially a fuck ton of health. If you one hit KO something,
that's a good idea.
It gives you back a ton of health. So that actually might be a good thing to put on to Scoliopede whenever it comes time to put him into some meaner fights, potentially.
I got a black sludge on it right now.
That's pretty cool. That's a good poison. Move. Yeah. That's in like all the moves are physical contact it moves to.
Mm.
Only thing is, I don't feel like he has the best access to moves. Coil is a fucking beast move, but none of the other attacking moves I'm particularly happy about. And I don't want to give it Heat Crash, because that's just going to defeat the purpose.
Yeah. Like, mine right now has...
Has no feet, right? It has no fangs. Well, it has fangs.
You can learn Fire Fang.
Good, that'll happen.
And you can get the TM at the right Pokecenter in Hammerlock.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, Leech Life, good. Crunch, and Flame Wheel. I kind of wish it had a better Fire-type physical move, but...
Yeah.
It has no fists, it can't punch.
Mine's got Bug Bite, Flame Wheel, Bite, Coil, yeah.
Yours did... have.
You son of no, he's actually alive.
In life.
Oh, nice.
He's actually alive. He was in my box because, I mean, a fire bug, he has no chance in a rock gym.
So you can take one more shot at it.
I have two flying bugs, my Sheninja, a Joltik, a Snom, and a Centiscorch. Like,
I know we're in the middle of a run, but can we maybe impose a rule where if you're capped and you can't get any more Pokemon, to then you're allowed to increase maybe like two levels you're over the next cap.
I mean,
like,
I
if you've only
dead.
Got three Pokemon left, you can go six levels higher on all three of them than the final gym
all right.
level. just to kind of keep you in it, just to give you a chance, like, they're out for revenge, all their friends are dead, their trainer is insisting that they keep fighting for nothing more than pride and money, so they get to overlevel a little bit.
Did we get through your entire team, or is there a couple more?
Maybe had one more. We kind of jumped around and talked about Araquanid.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an idiot when I say it. Araquanid. I also have, what is it? Crustle. I named it Tectonic.
Nice.
Yeah. I was so looking forward to using a Crustle, and my Dwebble died so early, and I was so sad because I'd never used a Crustle before, but I really wanted to.
There's a Crustle you can get as an encounter. It's the route before the ice gem where the phalanx are popping out.
He's the one that killed my Rabambi, and I didn't want to risk anyone else, and he doesn't spawn again. So I had to run like a bitch. I'm like, nope, don't take any more from me.
I had Crustle at one point in an unavoidable double encounter. And he lasted one turn, did a rock slide that did barely any damage to my opponents, and then got hit so hard, like, 3/4 of his health bar disappeared. And I was like, oh, fuck this. Back in the bench. Oh, and I didn't even mention, it's in my box, but I also have a Butterfree. I actually took the time to catch that Butterfree that you get, like, route one, so I could get the Bliphug on route two. Totally worth it. It's awesome having a level 10 Butterfree to just breeze through the game before those first couple gems.
Before my Butterfree died, it did a lot of work for me. Having the psychic moves as well as the flying moves were doing a lot of heavy lifting.
And then another thing, sorry, I know I'm derailing us all the time here, but like, think of how many Pokemons we have here that could have Gigantamaxed but can't. Like, we could have had Dynamax, like, Butterfree, or Beetle, right? Panzer, fucking whatever his name is.
Santa Scorch. And you can. In the Isle of Armor, after you get a certain distance in the story, there's a thing where you can go and get these particular mushrooms that pop up, and you get 3 mushrooms, you give it to the dude, he makes a soup, and you can give one of your Pokemon, if it has a Gigantamax form, it gains that.
Oh, it doesn't.
So you can always add that to it. Or Beetle's Gigantamax is pretty much useless because he gets the G-Max Gravity or whatever, which makes flying Pokemon now affected by ground moves. Who gives a shit?
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
The Butterfree one I don't know off my head. I don't know that one. The Center Scorch one is cool, but because instead of creating harsh sunlight and fire moves dealing more damage, which is great, it essentially turns into a hard-hitting fire move that does like a fire spin effect. Additional damage at the end of the turn. So I liked that one a lot. Just kind of like an easier way to finish guys off if they just kind of live on a little bit. But I didn't get to that point in the Isle of Armor.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, if I...
And it's easy to burn through that because it's just like... you have like a couple of battles in the beginning of it, which I think it's either scales to you or it scales to whenever you went in there. Or maybe it's just low level. I don't really know. Because I've always gone to it at low level.
But after that,
yeah,
it kind of scales with you.
And then you're just doing these weird tasks that don't involve any battling or anything. So you don't have to worry about levels there with that because you're barely getting anything of that. It doesn't take very long. It's fine.
Did you guys buy like mass purchase Pokeballs? I know I did.
I did not.
I got 40 of them.
I haven't mass purchased them, but I always keep a stock because I got into a real tough situation against a Wobbuffet. And I was doing some training before I think it was before the water gym, along the route where there's the daycare. I caught my Dewpider there, and I was just looking to get a couple levels before moving on. And I'm riding my bike around, and I see a Wobbuffet pop up. I was like, oh, Wobbuffet, they got a lot of HP. They probably dished a lot of EXP. Oh, no, but I was already, like, in the encounter. I was like, this was a terrible idea. And I had...
That's right. Yeah, they have the spell tag ability that makes you... You can't flee.
Right. You can't flee the battle. And it is, of course... Blipbug, his evolved form that's now escaping me now.
Or Beetle.
No, the second Dottler. Middle form. Dottler, yes. I had Dottler, who was still alive at the time. And I was like, okay, does this thing know magic code or is it just counter right now? So I just started throwing up Reflex and... light screens to kind of scout out its moves, and it ended up using both counter and magic coat or mirror coat,
mirror something. Yeah,
the thing that reflects special moves back at you.
So he only learns like 5 moves. So he gets that.
Oh my god.
The trailer would have been an epic showdown in the anime, watching a dollar and these things just not attack each other. Terrified of the other's existence.
I can't switch. I can't run. I don't think I had a Pokeball at the time. I didn't even think of it at that point. I was like, I need to fucking struggle stall this thing or Dottler's going to die. And I didn't want him to die at the time. So I just started throwing up all my reflex, all my leg screens until it finally struggled itself. Like, until it finally started using struggle, then I could actually start doing some damage too. So I beat the EXP was not worth it. It wasn't worth it.
I'm sure it wasn't.
God, what a fucking terrible battle. And thank God I've been playing with, like, no animations and... set mode. You have to play in set mode. That's the last world that we can talk about.
That is really awful.
Mm.
Fucking set mode, it's like...
Yeah, because you're pretty much guaranteed, like, if you want to switch, it's going to take some damage.
Yeah.
As you swap in.
And I find that's been the tricky part, is making sure that I'm in a good position for... It's like when you get into the gym battles, you're really only worried about that Dynamax one. Mm. The other ones you can kind of strategize around. Usually all three can be taken out by one thing.
That's what I thought.
But then, you know, you've got this Dynamax Pokemon at the end, which can just be an absolute motherfucker. So you got to figure out how you're going to, one, get to the Pokemon you want to face that encounter, and two, how you're going to keep it alive through, I mean, from my experience, at least 2 turns. I don't think I've one-shot any of the final Dynamax Pokemons.
And I've been trying to not Dynamax back. Like,
that's insane.
I've had to Dynamax in 2 of the gyms. One of them, you can't Dynamax in the Dark Gym. I think I ended up Dynamaxing in the Ice Gym, as well as the Fairy Gym. The one right before maybe it was the Fire Gym. Maybe I ended up... No, because I had Araquan at that one. Anyway, I've been trying not to Dynamax as much as possible. And actually, a lot of my deaths, I'd say a good half of them, have come from just me, just trying to get cute in these gym fights, and just trying to throw up some setup and try to use these weird strategies that, you know, I probably, if I just played it more straightforward, I would have done better. But Wes, we've danced around it a bunch now. What happened?
All right. Well,
what happened to your team?
Let me list my team.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went with a thing I think Ryan used years ago, where I named them after phobias.
Okay.
So it's just the first part of phobias. And at first, I started doing phobias that fit them, and then I just started picking phobias that fit them but were weird, that I didn't know were actual phobias.
Oh, yeah?
Like, my pincer is called Dento, for dentophobia, which is fear of dentist, because he got those weird jacked-up teeth in the front of his face.
That's understandable.
I got a Vikavolt, which is Astra. He was my first Pokemon, which is fear of thunderstorms, which works. I have a Durant I named Metallo, fear of metal, I think. I can't remember. It was a while ago. I got a Araquanid, which I named Ombro, which is a fear of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Astro, my Orbeetle, fear of the space.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of other guys. I did another bunch of names and stuff. Angelo is my Sheninja, fear of angels. He's a guy Halo. It's pretty cool. I got my cue to fly was Nereida, fear of fairies, I think. I think I may have gotten that one mixed up. Oh, so I was doing cute little stuff like that with their names and things. But my favorite name that I got was my Scentiscorch Pagano, which is fear of mustaches.
Oh, nice.
Because he got these big mustaches of fire in front of his face.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But yeah, I was doing good for a while. I had a bunch of deaths. Some of them made me really sad. I lost my Whirlipede catching my Dwubble. Not my Dwubble, my, whatever the first form of Requinid is.
Dupiter.
He died catching my Dupiter. And then I had 3 deaths in, under a half hour one day. Just from me just brain farting and just being sad about the previous death. And it just got away from me. I was so sad. I was doing pretty good. And I got to the 6th gen, which you guys are playing in Shield. And I'm playing in Sword. So in Shield, you get the Ice Gym, which Bug is fine against Ice. In my gen, it's Rock.
Yeah.
Which...
It's tough.
All my Bugs are weak to Rock. The only person that is effective against Rock is really my Araquanid, and my Pinsir's got a fighting move. That's really all I got. My Orbeetle's got Energy Ball. I mean, that's going to do something. And the first one they throw out was Barbaracle.
The fossil one from Gen 6.
No. The one with the weird arms with all the eyes on them.
Binacle? Isn't it a binacle?
That's his first form. His second form is Barbaracle or something. It's not a fossil. It's a regular dude. He's got like a big
That's right, because the fossils in Gen 6 were Tyrantum. And
his head's like a hand with a face in it. It's got the two shoulder arms with hands. And
it looks like eyes. It should be a fossil Pokemon, but it's not.
Yeah, it's a weird, creepy guy.
Mm. Kind of a weird pull for that one to be in the game.
Yeah, I threw out my Pinsir because I'm like, I could just use this Storm Throw, which the thing with Storm Throw is it always crits.
Right.
So I'm like, maybe I could take this thing out and hit. It did over half damage. Like, it was great. And then he used Shell Smash, and then right after that, he officially was too fast for any of my guys to catch him, and one-shotted everything.
That's tough.
There was literally nothing. All I could do is just watch all my friends be murdered in front of me, and there was nothing I could do about it. And it was just absolutely brutal. Yeah. I lost. The only person on my main team that I did not lose was Centiscorch, because I had him in the box, because he was useless against a rock gym. So I had this Snom out just for experience, I guess, because I was trying to get him, because I was like, I'm not gonna need anyone else, I can just throw him there.
Yeah, this is tough. If you had a good grass move, you maybe could stand a chance.
I should have thrown my Orbeetle out first and just energy balled him.
Yeah,
but I didn't think about that because he's a water rock and Orbeetle will have one shot him, but I didn't think about that.
It's also weak to electric, so if you had your Galvantula, you could have.
I have Beakable. I have a Joltik still, which his name is Xantho, which is the fear of the color yellow.
Oh, very good. Is it still alive?
Yeah, it's still alive.
Maybe that would be fast enough to actually, like, be able to hit it.
Well, my party that's still alive is a Vespiquen, a Joltik, a Sheninja, a Scyther, a Snom, and my Centiscorch. So even if I can get through this gym, it's not going to be a fun time through the rest of the game.
And it's tough sledding.
That is rough. I got two flying bugs. Which is not good. It would be absolutely brutal for the rest of this game. But there is one bright side with this run that makes me super duper happy. I was in the third gym, and you know, you got to fight all those guys, and if you catch some, then it gives you more points. And randomly, I bumped into a shiny Litwick in the middle of my third gym. So I have a shiny Litwick sitting here.
That's really cool.
Yep. He's really cool. I really like his...
That's like full odds, too.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like, during the fucking gym challenge, it was great. Because I kept almost killing everything, and then the trainer that fights with you, against you, killed it, and that doesn't count as a point. So I probably went through like 15 Pokemon trying to finish that challenge. Just running in circles. So they have a shiny Litwick show up. It's really cool. I'm going to have to trade it to one of you guys so I can get it to my main file.
Yeah, for sure.
But that guy, I'm going to do something with him. He's really cool. The final form, instead of having like those purple flames, it's just red. It's just regular fire. It's really cool.
Nice.
Well, so, that was my run. I really like Durant. He carried me through that fairy gym pretty good. Yeah, it was a fun run. I'm sad. But it was a fun run.
Yeah, I've been having a pretty good time with it as well.
Where exactly are you at right now?
I just did the 7th gym.
Okay, I'm heading up to the 7th gym.
Okay. And that was not so bad. I did have a casualty in that one because it was a gym where I was like, hey, I'm going to do something.
It was a rough one, too.
Yeah, I'm going to do a fun little strategy here, and it's going to be a hoot because this guy doesn't even... Dynamax. I did not bother scouting out any moves. I knew he had like 3 or 4 Pokemon. They were all dark types. I have Heracross. Heracross is a fighting type. But I'm going to get silly here and I'm going to do a lot of setting up.
Oh, that's a dream. He doesn't even Dynamax. That means I can Dynamax early and try and sweep these assholes.
It might not. You might not have the option to Dynamax either.
No, you don't. No Dynamaxing there. It's something story-wise. It's like there's no energy. So Gigantamaxing is... impossible or whatever.
But anyway, I threw out my Skorupi Arsenic to set up some toxic spikes, and he started off with a Scrafty, so it was only too scary. Just something that was a little bit bulky. So I got 2 layers of toxic spikes laid down. I was like, hey, that's really cool. Anything that's going to come in is going to have to take toxic damage. So then I swapped out to my Scoliopede, Sneaks, and just started setting up Iron Defenses. And I got 3 Iron Defenses set up, still a pretty good HP, because I had the Black Sludge on there and Scrafty really isn't dishing out that much damage. So like, hey, this is really cool, but I want to get Heracross in here. Heracross is going to be my sweeper. So I baton pass into Heracross, who's got max defense. And of course, nothing's touching him. So I get through the Scrafty and his next Pokemon. One hit KOs.
Malamar?
Yeah, it was Malamar. And I took out Malamar. I think I used a bug move to take that one out.
Yeah, Psychic Dark bug mm-hmm. move would wreck him.
But then Obstagoon comes out. So like, and of course, these two Pokemon come out poisoned. Obstagoon comes in. He gets poisoned. Like I said, did not scout out the moves at all. Did a Brick Break. Brick Break takes it down. It must have been like just a sliver of red health. Could have lived on 1 HP. It didn't matter because the move that it uses is counter. And as soon as like Obstagoon used counter, I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, my God. So Heracross goes down. And then, of course, Obstagoon goes down to the poison damage the next turn. And, you know, whoever he threw out last didn't matter because I have all these bug Pokemon that are going to take out dark types with no issue. But if I had been paying attention, I would have scouted out that Obstagoon has counter, and I probably would have stalled it out for a couple more turns before trying to get some damage onto it to let the poison do some work for me. But god damn it.
Yeah, this is potentially a tricky one. Like, all of the movesets can be annoying here. I mean, like, you got two different Pokemon with Payback on it, which sucks. You know, you said Obstagoon's got the counter, obviously. You know, even this Stun Tank, which hopefully is a 1 KO, if you don't get through that, it's got Toxic, Screech. It could really derail your plans.
Is it a Flamethrower?
No.
Okay.
That's Sucker Punch. Apparently it's trying to punch you with this.
Against that Skunk Tank wasn't, you know, I didn't lose anything against it. I threw out my Senescorch as the next Pokemon because it had Leech Life, so it could stay alive a bit longer. But it actually worked out pretty well because my Senescorch has White Smoke, which is really nice because some Pokemon have Intimidate, and I can use it against as the starter in a fight against a Pokemon that has Intimidate because it can't get the stat drops. So twice Skunk Tank tried to use Screech on me, and of course it doesn't work. So another reason why my Senescorch is doing a ton of work for me.
Obstagoon's so good too. I used him in my Galar only run, and he was really good. He was a big standout. Him and Mr. Rhyme was really good. Whatever he evolved into, I forget what that thing's called.
Mr. Rhyme?
Isn't that what it becomes?
Oh, no, it is Mr. Mime, and Mr. Rhyme is the evolution. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My brain. Yeah, those were really good.
Ryan, you got any more parting shots toward this run before we close the book on it?
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I haven't had a death yet, but I'm sure that they are due. They will come.
You got so many that you could just pull from at this point. You could just go on a catching bonanza and rebuild an entire team if you needed to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have somebody stocked up of Wild Area and Isle of Armor stuff in the bank. You can just go and...
Just means now we got to go do that, though.
Yeah.
Isle of Armor takes 10 minutes. You do one fight real quick, and you're off. You're free. As long as you don't walk into the dojo, you can just go nuts.
Yeah.
You've got one little battle, and you're good to go, and it uses poison types.
Nice.
So...
Cool. So let's wrap it up here with our Halloween teams.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Of which I have one.
Same here. I put together a little Halloween team as well.
I wrote it on post-it note.
Cool. So let's go round robin here. Wes, why don't you kick us off?
Well,
with a Halloween team.
I couldn't really think of a lot of spooky ones. I have four here. I wrote for spooky.
Okay.
But I decided to switch it up, and I wrote down some Pokemon that look like Halloween costumes.
Okay.
That, like, little kids would dress up as for Halloween. Yeah. So the first one on my list is Buzzwollow. The,
Buzzwole?
Buzzwole. Yeah, I wrote that
The Ultra Beast one?
Yeah, the Ultra Beast, because it looks like...
It has a fake muscles on it.
Yeah, it looks like a kid who wanted to dress up as a superhero, but was worried about, what's the rights?
The copywriting?
Copyright. Things. He was worried about copyright, so he wanted to dress up as the Tick.
Right.
But he didn't want to get sued, so he painted him red.
That works.
So, that's what that guy looks like.
Nice.
Now keep going. Work through your whole team.
Oh, you want to go through all this?
Yeah.
I got Lycanroc. So somebody wants to dress up like a werewolf.
Yeah,
the night form.
Makes sense.
All spooky and everything like that. It goes well with that. Incineroar. That was a kid who wanted to... Not a kid. I'm going to correct that. Not a kid. That is someone who wanted to dress up as a sexy kitten or a wrestling pro wrestler. Couldn't decide, so merged them together. So that was what their costume ended up being.
Nice.
Decidueye. That's just somebody trying to be Robin Hood. It's yeah. great. It's a lot of fun there. I added him to this list before my run, and it pains me to say Barbarical. So I added him to this list before he wiped my team. But he looks like a little kid, didn't have any money for a costume, and his dad is a washing machine repairman and just grabbed a bunch of random parts and hoses and put something together.
It does look like a 1950s like space robot or something.
Like, it looks so
dead. Yeah, that works.
And the last one I got on here is Drudgeon. That's a dollar store version of a dragon costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that cheap thing. The colors don't match right. It's all over the top, blown out. The head's huge. Little Bobby's just... The head's just smacking him all over the place as it rattles around on his tiny noggin.
I can't see, guys.
And his tail's dragging and just getting all the dirt in and can't get the candy in the mouth. You know, it's just a mess. I mean, it was $2. What was he expecting? So
nice.
That's my team.
I really like the Lycanroc pick. That's really good. Because it is. It's a werewolf.
It's a werewolf.
It's a lycanthrope. It's a
creepy,
Yeah.
It's really good. Almost made my team, in fact.
I do have a couple of honorable mentions that did not make my team. I thought that Hatterene would make a really cool one because it's just a witch hat. It's a witch hat on stilts. And also Trevenant, I considered putting it on my team, but I did not end up doing it. It's a scary tree. It's so spooky.
I got four spooky, but I'll see what you guys came out with before I add my four spooky in.
So I'll tag in next.
All right, cool.
I got my team of six here. First up, I have an Umbreon.
Of course.
Who is one of my favorite Pokemon in general, but dark type. So this particular build for the Halloween team is a bulky build with a nature. Let me see where I have my nature here. A sassy nature, which is minus speed plus special defense. So you get a little bit more bulk there. Max HP, max defense as well. Holding the black glasses for a little bit more damage output for its dark type move. And it really only has the one attacking move. This is a work up Baton Pass, Moonlight, and Dark Pulse set. So you can do some setting up and healing and then get out of there if you need to pass it on to someone else. Or you can just use that Dark Pulse for some special attack damage if that's the way you want to go. Next up, number two is a Modest Galvantula. It's a spooky spider. Its name is Spooky Spider. Holding the magnet for some max output. And of course, a Modest nature is a minus attack plus special attack for a speedy, high special attack sweeping build. As far as moves, like there's no like kind of spooky theme move sets there. Thunderbolt, Bug Buzz, Thunder Wave, Sticky Web for a little bit of setup if you need to. But yeah, just trying to play the stabs as best as possible for that one. Oh, I should have sent you guys the video because next up, you got to have a pumpkin for Halloween.
Yep.
So you get David S. Pumpkin, Mr. Goregeist, out there. This is a another bulky build with a max HP, max defense, and a bold nature, which is minus attack plus defense. Oh, I haven't mentioned abilities. Ability for Galvantula, Mr. Spooky Spider, was just Unnerve, because it's kind of a scary move. And then Umbreon can only have the one ability, which is Inner Focus, that prevents flinching. I can't remember what its hidden ability is. Anyway, as far as an ability for Goregeist, I just have Frisk. I can't remember what its other abilities are. But this is a really annoying build, holding a Citrus Berry, but then has a Will-O-Wisp, Hex, Trick or Treat, and Pain Split. Not only to just be a big old troll, but also gain a little bit of HP back for itself. And this is one, this pumpkin took down Eternus.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a really mean set. Next up, I do have a couple of repeating types here, but I didn't, go overboard. Like, if it was a repeating type, it had to be a dual type, and I didn't allow any three-peats, any past two. So I didn't, load up with ghosts or anything.
Oh, that's fine.
So next up is the other ghost, Simon Gorgas, and it is Mimi Caillou, which, of course, is a Pokemon wearing a costume.
To the definition, yes.
It's doubly
I knew it was on your list, so I didn't put him on mine, because that's literally,
Yeah, it's a kid wearing a ghost wearing a Pokemon costume. This is another like a sweepy set, Hasty Nature, which is plus speed minus defense. And then I also did max attack and max HP for this one as well. Swords Dance, Pain Split, Play Rough, Shadow Claw, just a really mean. Like playing the stabs, and then also you get the free setup for Swords Dance. You just get a free one because of that disguise ability. And then leftovers for a little bit of HP regeneration, which Pain Split also helps with. And two more. It's a Bat is a Crobat because it is Halloween. And, you know, bats are scary, right? People are scared of bats, I guess.
So they're nocturnal animals.
They, probably just Bruce Wayne.
You know, they drink blood.
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm not scared of a bat, but if one were, like, fly at me, I would freak the fuck out.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, wait, what was
like,
that?
Like, holy shit, it's a bat. Like,
you'd probably be happier to see a bat than a bird, though.
Yeah?
Government surveillance drones? Are you kidding? I'll take a bat. That's a mammal, you know.
So this bat is Naughty Nature, which is... no, I must have used a mint on this and didn't change the element. This is an adamant bat, so it's plus attack minus special attack.
He's very adamant that he's a bat.
I thought they did it was naughty and that it was dressing provocatively on Halloween.
Like a sexy bat.
Yes. How would you dress a sexy bat?
I don't know, just with a thong.
That's turn safe search before you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the same way that, like, you know, sexy nurse, sexy whatever. You just basically slot it up, make the skirt short, give him a thong, and you have
revealing top, maybe some wings and some bat ears. There you go, sexy bat.
Yeah, guys are supposed to be funny. Women are supposed to be sluts. That's how Halloween outfits work. So
that's what we do when we celebrate the barrier of the dead being so low. We, you know.
Just slut it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a max attack, max speed for a nice sweeping set. Cross Poison, Air Cutter, Leech Life, and Confused Ray. So you're playing some stabs there and get a little bit of HP regeneration with Leech Life, which is fun. Another inner focus one so it can't be flinched. And then finally, the final member is I Want Candy, and it is a Slurpuff. A bit of a curveball here. He's the other fairy type because Mimikyu is also a fairy. This is a max HP bulky set. Bold Nature, which is minus attack and plus defense. Sweet Veil is the ability. I'm not sure what the hidden ability is. I think I wanted a different ability on this one. But holding a big root so that its draining kiss gains a little bit more HP back. And it's like a common theme throughout this team. It's moves that will get me some HP back. Also, Cotton Guard, Aromatherapy, and Wish as well.
Not bad. That's a good team.
So, yeah.
I think all very fitting with the iconography of Halloween as well.
What else we got?
All right. So mine, not so much centered around Halloween itself as a ritual, but more about the horror elements that exist in Pokemon.
Oh, God.
And a lot of this is built... Well, it's built upon two things. Centered around... what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Horror films, as they are appropriate for the time. And the Pokedex entries that I think, some of which are truly terrifying. Truly terrifying. So my final six ended up being... And what's nice about this is I feel like these are all... There's only one that's actually fully evolved. One is a one form. One's fully evolved. This is kind of a team you could just start the game with. But at any rate, first one on my team is a Ghost Fire. It's Lampent. Not Litwick, because you got to hear the entry. And I would name it Dan Torrance. Dan Torrance is, of course, Danny from The Shining and Dr. Sleep. And when you hear this entry, you'll understand why. Let me find it on my list here. Okay. The spirits it absorbs fuel its baleful fire.
God damn.
It hangs around hospitals waiting for people to pass on.
Nice.
Right?
Oh, my God.
And that's the premise of Dr. Sleep is that Dan Torrance is a doctor and he works in a hospice.
Not a doctor.
Oh, he's not a doctor?
No.
He's just like orderly.
He's an orderly, yeah.
Yeah, and he works at a hospice center.
Not that it matters. Yeah. Maybe like, actually, you're right there.
Right. Okay, the next one is... I think I might be double-dipping myself as I look at my list. But at any rate, it's a Dark Grass Cacturn.
Oh, nice.
I named it Craven because he is the director of The Hills Have Eyes, which is the inspiration for this. And your entry for this one
he's
is...
He's got like a creepy face, too.
Oh, character. Yeah.
The grin and the eyebrows.
The patchwork thing and the weird hat. The weird, like, tri-corner hat.
Yeah, he's a scarecrow slash cactus.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
The entry reads, if a traveler is going through a desert in the thick of night, Cacturne will follow it in a ragtag group. The Pokemon are biding their time, waiting for the traveler to tire and become incapable of moving.
Oh, my
God. Right? That's terrifying.
I thought this was a kid's game.
You'd think. Okay. I have a ground type, Cubone. I would name it Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th, Part 2. Because, you know, actually part 3 is when he officially dons the mask, but, you know, you'll bear with me for the sake of what it is. And this one's really straightforward. It wears the skull of its dead mother on its head. When it becomes lonesome, it is said to cry loudly.
Mm.
That's terrifying. In keeping with this, I have a psychic, Drowsy. And I, of course, am naming Drowsy Freddy. If I could fit it, I would do Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
After Nightmare on Elm Street. And the entry reads, if you think that you had a good dream, but you can't remember it, a drowsy has probably eaten it. So these drowsies observe your sleep and consume it. This is my duplicate. I didn't realize it because I only wrote Dark for Cacturne. But Grass Poison, I have a Weepin' Bell, which I am naming Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Nice.
Oh.
And your entry for this one is, when hungry, it swallows anything that moves. Its hapless prey is dissolved by strong acids. Terrifying. So grotesque. And lastly...
Terrible way. Really gruesome way to die.
This may be gruesomer, or more gruesome. A water type, Gorbis, which I am naming Leviathan. You may think Gorbis, like what the fuck?
Which one was Gorbis?
Gen 3.
It's the cute one.
The one that goes into like Huntail or Clampert?
Yeah. Clamperl becomes two different things. It either becomes the pretty one, which is Gorbis, or the ugly one, which is Huntail, which is like the big...
Vaguely, mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, like, the different, like, held item it has will determine which one it goes into.
Yeah. And the entry reads that, although Gorbis is the very picture of elegance and beauty while swimming, it is also cruel. When it spots prey, this Pokemon inserts its thin mouth into the prey's body and drains the prey of its bodily fluids.
Gross.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty rough.
It dehydrates you to death.
So this is my team. Yeah, that's my team, largely consisting of things referencing horror films that also have gruesome entries.
Oh.
Can I read you some honorable mentions, though, that have some really fucked
Go
up
for
entries?
It.
Okay, Yan Mask. Each of them carries a mask that used to be its face when it was human. Sometimes they look at it and cry.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There's another entry for Yan Mask, which references the human face thing again, but like pretty much references to it. Like it doesn't remember being human, but like sees this human's face and like it makes it sad, but doesn't know why.
Oof.
Oh,
that's tragic.
God. Yeah.
For whatever reason, I thought the Lampet was a better entry for the ghost, but that's a very good one. Phantump, you had Phantump, right? For Phantump?
Gorgeist. Trevenant was a honorable mention.
Yeah. Okay, so Phantump. According to old tales, this Pokemon are stumps possessed by the spirits of children who died while lost in the forest.
Oh yeah. My.
Maybe.
God.
Just a thought here, Pokemon, Game Freak. If the phrase children died comes up, we just put that one aside. We don't use that one
maybe
in the
Pokedex.
Might be a bit much. Okay. Rockruff. This one's not that bad. As they develop, their disposition grows more violent and aggressive. Many trainers find them too much to handle and abandon them.
That's sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
That's sad.
Skorupi. It attacks using the claws on its tail. Once locked in its grip, the prey is unable to move as the Pokemon's poison seeps in.
I
just like that that's where it stops. Its poison seeps in and then doesn't tell you. It lets you divine the horror that awaits whatever the Skorupi has captured. Glalie is one of the grossest ones. Glalie has the ability to freely control ice. For example, it can instantly freeze its prey solid. After immobilizing its prey in ice, the Pokemon enjoys eating it in a leisurely fashion.
Leisurely.
Yeah.
Gets out its knife and fork and some nice chinaware.
I know, right? And the award for most fucked up, I think this is deeply fucked up, fucked up entry in all of Pokemon, it belongs to our boy Yveltal from Gen 6, the legendary.
Alright.
When its life comes to an end, it absorbs the life energy of every living thing and turns into a cocoon once more.
Oh, so like, it destroys the world.
Everything in the galaxy becomes this cocoon again, only to reform itself when it emerges. All living, again, it absorbs the life energy of all living things. Everything that exists becomes Evatol. Only for Evatol to, I'm guessing, come out of its cocoon and birth all of it, rebirth all of existence.
So we're just waiting for Evatol to die.
Essentially, yeah. Okay. Sounds about right.
I had Glalie as my honorable mention. I didn't look at anything special for him. I just thought these were cool ones to do.
It does kind of look like a hockey mask, too.
Yeah. It's a floating head. Mm. Same with Duskull. It's a floating skull.
Yeah. I think the favorite thing is there's true horror and fear and shock, and then there's mischief. And I think the Pokemon does a really good job of capturing the mischief side of a lot of Pokemon, like especially with the ghost type. Rarely do you see ghosts that are like truly terrifying. It's more like, oh, that's funny. Like Haunter and even Gengar, they're cute in their way. Like Haunter, mm-hmm. Gengar is a ghost and it's fat.
How's that?
It chose to eat too much, even though it's a ghost.
Like Pythagoras and Houndoom.
I like Houndoom. He's like a dog with a guard tail.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Houndoom didn't have any good entries from when I looked it up, though.
Mm. I had Jinx on here just because it just freaks me out since I was a kid. I don't know why. It's always...
Yeah, I can see that.
The entry's like, Jinx doesn't blink. It doesn't contribute in any way to its living. It's just terrifying that it does that.
It's got like the closest thing we have to a clown Pokemon, too. Like that, maybe Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I think that was pretty good.
But yeah. So next up's going to be a mini show. We'll talk about whatever we want.
Sounds good.
Yeah. There is one last thing we do need to address. That's not Pokemon. But the New York Yankees season is over.
It is.
Oh, God.
They were
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it felt so good. I needed that like a crackhead needs crack. Yeah. Like, and the Red Sox, their season is continuing. They're playing the Rays right now. The last time I checked the score was like the bottom of the first inning. There nothing had happened yet. But like now, like I feel like they're playing with house money. Like I didn't expect them to make it to the playoffs. But as the season went on, like we kept on talking several points throughout the year. Like as we're getting into the summer, like hey, if the Red Sox win this series, the Yankees are done. They need to just call it quits. And every time the Yankees just kind of hang around and hang around. So it is nice to finally, in the last game of the season and then the wild card qualification game, finally get rid of them. And have their season be over because they tried so hard. They make like six of their top 30 prospects they traded away at the trade deadline to make a final push to get into the playoffs. And they did get into the playoffs. They got into the one game play-in and then they got eliminated in glorious fashion. They never really stood a chance. The game was one-sided. It was great. Felt real good.
Yeah. Did you hear that Yankees announcer call where he thought it was a home run and it was not a home run?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. The camera angle was a bit tricky there. So
pretty deceptive.
Yeah, well, understandable. But like, it's so good. Like now the Yankees media sphere is like making the rounds, like talking about like what a disappointment this all was, and how things need to change, and who should get fired, and who doesn't deserve to be fired, and who on the roster deserves to stay, and how they should just clean house and start over. Like. I keep on hearing over and over again, like, there's three guys that we need to keep and everyone else needs to go.
Is it really that intense with baseball? Like, if they don't make it to the playoffs, people are losing their
this
job.
This is the Yankees, though.
When you're the New York Yankees, and one of the things I hear over and over again over the past couple of days since they got eliminated is that they haven't made it to the World Series since 2009. And today I was just listening to someone talking about, like, they spend over $200 million. That should buy you a ticket to the dance, like meaning like that should get you deeper into the playoffs. And I mean, I guess maybe, but it's also like this really entitled mentality of we spend all this money, we're the Yankees, we deserve to be like, well, no, if you spend all that money and there's still teams better than you, you don't deserve to be there. Like you should be playing with a handicap if you're spending that amount of money and thinking that you just automatically deserve to be there.
Yeah, well, like most sports have a salary cap,
mm.
and to some extent, some a hard cap. Like the NFL has a hard cap; you cannot exceed. NBA has a luxury tax that you pay if you exceed.
Yeah,
you know, so some years you can go over, some years you can go under. But as long the longer you spend over, it compounds.
Exactly,
so it gets worse and worse for you. Hockey has a hard cap as well.
Baseball is exactly the same, where you know there's the luxury tax threshold, and the more the
but the revenue generated by these teams is meaningless. Right. Like, you know, how much the Red Sox generate in terms of revenue, that if there's no real concern about the luxury tax.
Right, and so that was one of the more frustrating things over the past couple of years, when they traded away Mookie Betts and then didn't really make an honest attempt to re-sign. It was because they wanted to stay underneath a luxury tax threshold, because if you go underneath the luxury tax threshold, you kind of reset your clock. So you can go back over at another time and not have to continuously pay more and more in there. And you're the Red Sox, you're the Yankees, you should be spending this money. It's actually good for everyone else that you're spending this money, because then like that luxury tax money gets like put back into the pool, and teams that don't make as much money then have access to that money so they can actually sign players and be competitive as well.
So the Rays beat you in your own house, it's your own game with your money.
And it's so funny because, yes, that's exactly what's happening. Like the Rays are really, really good, and none of like anyone in like the baseball media sphere is really giving the Red Sox any chance against the Rays, which I think is fair. But I also like that they have the underdog role, because you know maybe they win. Who knows? Anything can happen. But
I don't know if you listen to the sports radio at all. But Rich Eisen is.
Yeah,
Rich Eisen has a show, and just today he interviewed I believe it's Dave Sampson. He was the former manager, not manager. Like the head of baseball operations for the Marlins when they did their whole, when they got their title from basically just, you know, strapping this team together of young stuff and then trading them all out. Like, so he is very much that finding value and doing everything dirt cheap. Like, he's notoriously the cheapest motherfucker. But that's what he was talking about. He was talking about, like, kind of the embarrassment of the Yankees and how they've managed to find themselves in this position where, you know, they have the market, they've got the money, they got everything that should work, but they just don't have the pieces in place to make it happen.
Yeah.
And he's putting it all in the front office.
Mm.
You know, and then he's also, at the same time, was lauding what the Rays had accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of doing it on the cheap and kind of making it work with what they had, and thinking more about what's going to contribute to a team, not so much who's the biggest star we can bring in.
Yeah, they're playing with like a team payroll of like $60 million as opposed to like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Giants, who are like have these $200 million payrolls. Yep. So, you know, you're looking at a third or a quarter of what other teams are playing with. And, you know, that they went to the World Series last year and they got a legitimate shot of doing it again this year.
The other thing that I heard was that it now marks a decade. It's been over a decade now since any New York team has won a title in any professional sports. I would assume that means you're going back to Eli Manning beating the Pats.
Maybe, because yeah, the Yankees won in 2009, but they haven't reached the World Series since then.
Yeah, so that means the Rangers, the Knicks, the Nets, the Islanders, you know, the Mets, Jets. Of course. Not that anyone would have expected the Mets. Still, like, yeah, that's just absurd. And they said that hasn't occurred since 1911 to 1921.
Good.
That's how long it's been since New York City has been without a title.
I hope as long as...
a decade.
I don't really care about the rest of the teams, but I hope as long as I live, I never see the Yankees win another World Series. Yeah. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But there's this... like you were saying, like all these other teams, there's this willingness to like want to lay all the blame on like the front office, specifically Brian Cashman, who's the president of baseball operations. He kind of runs the show for the New York Yankees. There's such a willingness to say like, well, he built this roster, this is his fault. But then also out of the other side of their mouths, they're saying like, well, you can't really fire him. What if somebody else takes him? Like, if you hate him so much, why do you care if someone else hires him?
Well, here's the thing. If you break down the past 5 years of the team, it ain't that bad. Like,
right.
They're in the playoffs every fucking year.
They have
twice
not
twice they got run over by the Astros, who are confirmed fucking cheaters. So I mean I'm not they're yeah, both villains in my mind. So it's hard to say like
last year by the Rays, 2018 by the Red Sox, they've come up against better teams, but they haven't had a losing season in 30 years.
Yeah, they can consistently find themselves making it to the playoffs and then accomplishing jack shit.
But it's this sort of self-entitlement. They're like, hey, we're the Yankees. We deserve to win and win a lot. Whereas, you know, there are other teams like in Seattle and Milwaukee, like all these other places around the country where, you know, they would feel great. Or Pittsburgh, they'd feel great if they had 5 years in a row of making the playoffs. Not everyone gets to do that.
Right, yeah.
But just the amount of, like, self-love.
Oh, yeah, you think, like, the fucking Reds can attract talent like the Yankees can?
Right, right.
No, they can't. That's,
And they're already talking about how they want to re-sign. Like, there's this guy, Anthony Rizzo. He came up in the Boston Red Sox system. He got traded away, I think, to San Diego, and then ended up in New York and Chicago. And Chicago was where he kind of came up into the big leagues and helped them win their first World Series in 100 years. And the Chicago Cubs, who were totally inept this year, ended up trading away a lot of pieces. They traded away Rizzo to the Yankees. And there's this talk of, like, oh, they need to re-sign him. And, like, this sort of... a presumption that, like, if they want to re-sign him, they'll just do it. It doesn't really matter if he wants to play there or not. They'll just sign him. They'll just do it. As if he's just, like, a commodity that they can just take if they want to. Yeah. And that's, like, the sort of, like, the thing that goes along with, like, all of the complaining and the misery of the self-entitlement. Like, we should be winning because we want to win. And the self-loathing that because they haven't won,
and it's a misery
because they haven't won, is just so delicious. I love it so much. They hate themselves. Yeah. They are just abject miserable right now. And, like, I know this feeling. That's me.
Yeah.
In 2002, in 2003, like,
yeah,
there was this crushing sense of defeat, and now you have to feel it. And I hope you never stop feeling it.
I feel like it's probably what your Fairweather Laker fan is like, where the Lakers themselves are in this position where they feel so entitled, where it's just the brand. You know, it's the pinstripes. It's the, you know, it's the gold and purple. It's, they've had all of these great players. Even right now, they've just reloaded with a ton of talent on the team. But, you know, at the same time, like, they lose the game, the fans are probably taking their shirts off when they go out and drink that night.
Is LeBron still there?
Sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They picked up this guy, like, a ton, named Russell Westbrook. Blech.
Yeah.
Relentless Russell Westbrook. Yeah. He's fantastic, but I don't know if he's even going to fit with this team all that well, but he's still a superstar, so. They got the talent, but so do other teams. The funny thing, I don't know, we're just, real quick tangent on this. We don't talk about basketball a ton, but right now, the weirdest story right now is with the Brooklyn Nets, because they got Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving is not even vaccine hesitant. He is anti-vaxxer.
Cool.
Here's the thing. His own arena won't let him practice or play there. It's a rule that if you're in the facility, if you're in the whatever arena they're playing in, you have to be vaccinated. So that literally means right now he would not only be fined, he would not be able to even play in half the games. He couldn't travel to Canada to play any game. Basically, what we're talking about is that if he were to stay on the Brooklyn Nets and choose not to become vaccinated, it means he could probably play in about 30 to 40% of the actual basketball games.
Amazing.
And he still might not get vaccinated. Right? So he's either, and he's put himself in this position where he's sort of saying, like, I'm proud to be a fucking moron. And then again, this is Kyrie Irving's whole thing is, it's a double-edged sword with this guy because he's one of the most charitable people in the NBA. He's given away so much of his own money to charitable causes that help others. Like, his heart is in the right place. His mind is just butt fucking stupid. Like, to have bought into this whole line about being anti-vaxxer and shit. You know, and he's always the one that's like, he was the one that, like, they were making fun of him because he was toying with the idea that we live on a flat earth.
Oh, God.
You know, he always wants to look for the deeper answer. He always wants to be the one that's like, you know, you all are sheeple. I'm the one that has the greater insight into everything. And it's sort of like it's well-intentioned, but this is the first time it's really ever come up against, like, no, you're hurting people, you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting the team. Why are you doing this? Like, if you want to be anti-vaxxer, for real, you don't want to get vaccinated, you should retire. You should retire from the NBA right now. Or maybe go play in an arena where maybe you can play 80% of the games or 90% of the games and hope that you don't come up against, in the playoffs, a team that won't let you play in their home games. Because I bet you that's what would happen, right? Like, if your opponent knew that you were anti-vaxxer, they would just say, like, by the way, and they knew their whole team was vaccinated, they'd be like, by the way, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come into the arena. So, like, what a perfect solution. So, no, he's totally fucking himself over. He's fucking his team over. And no one really knows because he is so stupid he might do it. That he might say that this is the hill I'll die on.
Mm.
And again, I don't want to lose sight of that. he is one of the most generous people with the wealth that he's accrued as a basketball player. He wants to do good. He found some really shitty information, though, that makes him think that there's this conspiracy about the whole vaccine thing.
Right. Ugh. On that note, next up is the mini show. We'll talk more about whatever we feel like.
We can continue this thread.
Yeah. And then we'll do a retro show, which is going to be a good one. We've already mentioned why. And then we'll wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month.
Are you excited to talk about Linkin Park Hybrid Theory?
I'm super excited to talk about Linkin Park Hybrid Theory.
I've held Metroid Dread in my hands.
Metroid Dread?
Dread? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've held that in my hands and the new Switch.
Comes out tomorrow at time of recording here. I'm pumped.
Held the new Switch in my hands. Mm-hmm. It's shiny.
The Pro?
The 4K?
Yeah, the 4K. The Switch 4K. Yeah.
Cool. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Bye-bye.